Here we go on a Sunday morning, just after 8 o'clock, and you are listening to Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and 1340 AM, flagship of the Vegas Golden Knights. I'm Brian Feldman, and this is Out of Line. We're here every Sunday morning, same time, live in the Fox Sports Residential Bancorp studio in Las Vegas. The we includes co-host Kayla Herring, the last UNLV quarterback to lead the Rebels to a bowl game. Kayla was part of the UNLV football broadcast team, and the co-host of the Marcus Arroyo Show, which will be debuting this coming fall, new head coach of the UNLV Rebels. He does that along with Russ Langer and Steve Cofield on our sister station, ESPN The Leader. Also here, Chris Magnum Chapman, also the Vegas Golden Knights locker room reporter. Off duty last night, a little bit ill. He's in here, hopefully not with the coronavirus, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, where's your mask?
Man, we all need masks. He was just in the epicenter, man. I mean, you got to be concerned.
Maybe he has the antidote in his blood, like I Am Legend. Maybe that's why
he can't get it. Then we have to stick close. Well, yeah, we stick close to him, and he'll have to keep us from dying.
Yeah, keep us alive.
Seriously, but
you'll have to be like Tyson Fury last night and lick my blood. I think that's...
Well, I might die before I do that. I don't know, Caleb. What do you think?
I couldn't lick his blood.
Yeah, that would be the, you know, the Wiz is shaking his head no too. We're all out on that one. But anyway, normally he does serve as the locker room reporter on the Las Vegas radio network for the Vegas Golden Knights. And also here, the man behind the tripod and our newly appointed social media director,
The Wiz!
That's right, man. Spencer, The Wiz.
Ostrowski? Did you think I was going to mess up?
Ostrowski.
You tried to, like, throw me off there. I don't usually say that part.
I know you don't.
I think he wanted a break. I think your tongue was being lazy today. You didn't want to say it.
Maybe I was worried I'd screw up. Listen, the show is also streaming on the LV Sports Network and seen on Facebook Live. The page is called Out of Line. That's OUTTALINE. And you can watch on our personal pages as well. Your calls are welcome. The Fox Sports Residential Bank Corp studio line is 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
Far side, Tomasz Nosek kicks it ahead, comes to center, up the right side with Stastny, looking ahead with Smith, he's got an open net, he scores! Riley Smith finishes it off, his second goal of the day, Vegas 5, Florida 3, with a minute 17 to go in the third. Knights send it around the boards, it's toward the open net, but time runs out, the game is over. The Golden Knights win in Gage Quinney's debut. And the Golden Knights beat the Panthers 5-3. It's a five-game winning streak for Vegas.
All right, Eli to inbound, and they put 4 seconds on the clock. All right, get the ball in.
Possession is most important. Got to get it in and then be strong.
Ball being thrown all the way to the backcourt. Tipped up, Hamilton Mitchell. Mitchell with time running out, shoots from midcourt. And he missed it, and the Rebels win! The Rebels win! They defeat San Diego State here at Viejas. It is, for the Rebels, a victory over the highest-ranked team in a road game since they beat number 2 Arkansas in 1991. What a performance by this running Rebel team as they defeat San Diego State by a final score of 66-63. What a battle.
He is the winner by way of technical knockout. He is still the undefeated lineal heavyweight champion and the new WBC heavyweight champion of the world, the Gypsy King, Tyson Fury.
I'm The Wiz, and this is What's on Tap, sponsored by our title sponsor, Residential Bank Corp. Whether purchasing a new home or refinancing the home you already own, Residential Bank Corp is the company to turn to for all your home financing needs. Residential Bank Corp, funding America one neighborhood at a time. On tap, as you just heard, both the Vegas Golden Knights and the UNLV Running Rebels won yesterday. And as Brian would say, we are all over it like a hobo on a ham sandwich. Plus, NASCAR is in town, and the NASCAR Cup Series rookie driver Cole Custer is at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway, and shortly will be joining live on the Fox Sports Residential Bank Corp studio line. Plus, Fury Wilder Part 2 happened last night, and so did a player making his NHL debut at 42 years old. I'm the Wiz, and that's What's on Tap, brought to you by our title sponsor, Residential Bank Corp. If you're looking to buy a home or refinance a home you already own, choose a company you can trust. Residential Bank Corp, funding America one neighborhood at a time.
Hockey players, as you know, are warriors. They don't give up. They come to play every game.
It's time for Nightcap, a cup full of the Vegas Golden Knights. From highlights to interviews to special events, the puck starts here.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I'm just not used to this, Mags. I mean, being from Detroit, five-game winning streaks, and you got a college team beating a top-ranked team in the country. You've got a heavyweight title fight with people licking blood. I mean, I just don't I don't normally get this kind of thing in Detroit. Maybe people bleeding, but that's about the extent of it, and bleeding hearts as well. Wow is all I can say. Seeing the game last night, this team looks like a different team, Chris, and I'm not shocked that they capped off the five-game streak last night. I just think I'm shocked at the way they're doing it and the way they're winning these games, the way they're playing together, and even the play of Marc-Andre Fleury is sharper again.
Well, yeah, and you look at the home stretch, and when I talked to some of the guys early in this homestand, I talked to Shea Theodore, I talked to John Merrill and Max Pacioretty, and basically they all kind of said, yeah, this is our playoff run right now, because they were kind of in between that wild card spot. They were never, I don't think, out of the playoffs the last couple of weeks, but they were close to being on the outside looking in, a couple of losses and maybe the season's over. And they basically all said, look, this is our playoff run. This is our... We finished with four straight games on the road against teams in the Western Conference. Winnipeg, Vancouver, Calgary, Edmonton, not necessarily in that order, but those are your last four games and they're all on the road. Those are all teams that are currently in the playoffs. I think Calgary is actually on the outside looking in right now. But you know, when you look at what this team has done, these five games, I would argue that this is the most impressive five-game run of any team in the NHL this year, because I don't know everyone's schedule, but I don't think there is a team in the league that would have gone 5-0 over this stretch outside against these five teams. I mean, obviously they can't play each other, right? So Tampa's really good. I mean, they had won 11 straight coming in. Golden Knights outplayed them. Marc-Andre Fleury shut them down outside of two power play goals by Steve Stamkos. The other one was kicked in off of a skate. Islanders, playoff team, shut out. They basically had 12, 13 shots until the final 5 minutes of the third period. Defensively shut them down. Defending Stanley Cup champs, they take a lead into the third period. Golden Knights battle back, beat St. Louis again at T-Mobile Arena. Now you could say, oh, well, it was an overtime. It doesn't matter. Second time they've come from multiple goals down to beat the defending Stanley Cup champs. Florida, not a playoff team on the outside looking in, but they're right there. They're on the doorstep of a playoff run. Golden Knights dominated that game. A missing one. Washington, everything in the world for Washington. Ovechkin going for 700 goals. The Capitals, they're fighting for the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. And I guess they're, you know, you read some of the stuff that came out of Washington. They're okay with that because they've said, look, we've won the President's Trophy before, President's Cup before. We haven't won the Cup. We don't really care where we are. We just know we need to be there. But still, a five-game stretch against three elite teams and two really, really good teams. The Golden Knights are the better team in every single game. Now they got to follow it up, go on the road tonight to take on the Anaheim Ducks. Of course, you can catch that right here. I think it's a 7 o'clock start, so pregame at 6:30. But still, it's like, you know, this is an impressive run. And they went out, they got Alec Martinez, add some beef to the blue line. A lot of rumors that they're going to get Erik Gustafsson from the Blackhawks, yep. A guy who scored 60 points last season. He's having a little bit of a down year. But he's the guy that he can move the puck. And my guess is if they trade for him, they're going to sign him because he is a UFA. That's how this team does business. They don't pick up guys that they're going to lose. So I would imagine if they do trade for Gustafson, they're going to re-sign him. And maybe that's the holdup, that they haven't signed him or made the trade yet, right? Maybe they're working on that extension. Who knows? But this team has all of a sudden put themselves in position to be the team that beat in the Western Conference,
which could be really cool. I mean, like I said, Marc-Andre Fleury is 60 the shutout against the team, the Islanders, who were coming off a tough loss, so you thought they would play better. And the Golden Knights, as you mentioned, Chris, they just completely shut them down. And you talk about Martinez. Now, he was on the ice for two of the goals against last night, but yeah, he was also on the ice for a couple of the goals as well. I've always liked him. He's a grizzled veteran that's been around for a long time, played in a couple Stanley Cup championship teams with the LA Kings. This guy definitely is a good fit for this team, and you're going to see it playing the third line defense right now, and I think that's probably where he'll stay. But I'll tell you, Chris, when you talk about defense and the Vegas Golden Knights and defensemen, and we've said, you know, we needed somebody that is a superstar on the blue line, you know, somebody that can help out guys like Nate Schmidt and Shea Theodore offensively. But, you know, Shea Theodore, watching this guy play, Chris, and I was shocked in year one that he got sent down to Chicago initially, because I thought he should have made the team right off the jump. But it seems like it really fired him up. And when he came up, I remember talking to him, one of my very first interviews with the Golden Knights, and he said, "I'm never going back down to me." And he never, not only has he not been gone back down, this is a future rising superstar in this league. A guy that is so plays so well with and without the puck, but my God, what a great distributor. I think his 41st assist, or not his 41st,
41st point. Yeah.
41st point last night, 33rd assist, which is second on the Golden Knights, and he's a defenseman.
Yeah, well, he tied the record for most points by a defenseman, which was held by Colin Miller, I think, in year one. He's obviously going to break that. But now, granted, you know, you only have three seasons of history to look at, but Shea Theodore has the two highest point totals, two of the three highest.
Teams prepare for him now.
Yeah, I mean, he is the best player on the blue line. And I feel like when I watch this team play with Shea Theodore coached by Pete DeBoer, Shea Theodore is turning into that Brent Burns type of player.
What we need, said we need.
Where you basically give him free reign. You put him with a really good defensive defenseman, and he's playing with Nick Holden right now. And it gives you, Nick Holden is a stay-at-home guy who once in a while can give you a little bit of offense. But the pairing that it works. And I've always felt like him and McNabb were a good pairing. Because, again, McNabb is such an underrated defenseman. Like, McNabb doesn't care about the goals. He'll chip in when he has to. He's had some big goals in this team's history. But McNabb is the guy blocking shots.
He's a blue-collar guy.
He will put his body on the line every single shift to keep a puck out of the net. You know, the blue line, I felt like, has kind of been, they took a lot of heat, I feel, early on.
I think the board has gotten them to use that as motivation to play a lot better.
And I feel like, you know, it's unfortunate, right? Because we all like John Merrill. I mean, he's a really good guy.
I saw him up in the box last night.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Fans like him. The players love him. You know, the media really like John Merrill.
I talked to John Merrill at the Night to Remember. Me and the Wiz went to the Night to Remember, and I talked to John for a little bit.
I mean, unfortunately,
I mentioned you, and he put a smile on his face.
He's kind of the odd man out right now, and it's, you know, it's a bummer. But, you know, we'll see what happens. Trade deadline tomorrow, and this team's probably going to make another move.
Yeah, it doesn't bode well for him. And also Derek England, you see him up in the press box a great deal as well as he gets up there in age. Yeah, listen, I think we just got that phone call from Cole Custer, so we're going to take that in 1 second. Real quickly, wrapping up on the Golden Knights, and we'll play the interview after we talk to Cole Bags. We'll play the interview on the other side of the break as well. But I wanted to say the final thing about the Golden Knights as we're talking about them right now. Another player, Chris, that I am getting more and more impressed with. I've said before, he's like a poor man's Bob Probert, being from Detroit. I relate that. But I'll tell you what, the more I watch William Carrier, I just see him get better and better and better. He's a great physical presence, but offensively, he's got speed, he's got moves, he's got talent, and he's got soft hands for a big guy. He got his 7th goal of the season last night, but that's to go along with a good number of assists. And like I said, I just see him get better and better, and I think he is part of the future of this team as they go forward.
Yeah, he is a guy that they will have to re-sign at the end of the season, but I feel like this has kind of been a breakout year for Will Carrier. He was a guy who year one and two, you saw the speed. You saw a little bit of talent, but he was a guy who was often injured. This year, and I remember talking to him early on, he got stronger, he got faster, and he kind of changed the way he played, right? Like, he's no longer that wrecking ball. He's smart with his hits. He's smart with his checks. And when you have him out there with Ryan Reeves and Tomasz Nosek, I mean, granted, Carrier played on the third line last night with Stevenson and I'm blanking who he played with. But, you know, the point is, Will Carrier is a guy who's flexible, and he gives you a lot of things that kind of go under the radar. But, yeah, I mean, he seems to get better every game, and he's a young guy. And, like I said, they're going to have to re-sign him. We'll see what they do. I imagine he will be back. But, I mean, this team's got a lot of good things coming. I hate to say it, but it almost seems like Gallant getting fired was a wake-up call.
To everybody,
now, including... I'm not saying that Coach DeBoer has done anything different than Gallant. It's just that the team is playing better, and, you know, there's a lot of things you could attribute that to, and I really feel like the system that Pete DeBoer has put in place has really started to maximize the talent of some of these younger guys.
Well, yeah, it has, Chris, and Pete DeBoer is known as a motivator, and I think that's what we're seeing him do, and what they're accomplishing on the ice has been incredible. And, you know, I talked about the two guys, Carrier and Theodore, and people ask me all the time, what jersey should I get if I want to have a jersey of guys that are going to be around for a while? Those are two guys right now you might want to consider, Shea Theodore and William Carrier. I think they're going to sign them to decent long-term contracts as things go forward. They're both great players for this team, and they're part of the future. Listen, I'm not going to waste any more time. We have NASCAR in time. The NASCAR weekend. Yesterday, something rare happened in the Xfinity Series, Boyd Gaming 300. It was postponed due to rain. The Wiz and I were down there. We left before the start of the race because I had to go to the Golden Knights game last night, the fights last night, everything else. But they ended up getting 50 laps and they postponed it. And it's kind of strange. They're going to actually run that race after the Pennzoil 400 today, weather providing, although it looks like we got much better skies out there today. So 7:30 Eastern time, they'll get a nice treat, late night NASCAR on the East Coast, man. They'll dig that. But joining us right now is not necessarily, you can't call him a rookie, but he is a rookie this year, considering that Cole Custer will be a full season now racing for the Stewart Haas Racing Team. Pretty cool, and really cool that he's joining the show, considering he's got to get in a car, and I don't like calling those things cars. They're machines, man. He's got to get into a machine a little bit later on this morning, actually early afternoon, 12:30 this afternoon, and ride around Las Vegas Motor Speedway with his hair on fire over 200 miles an hour. Cole Custer, welcome to Out of Line, man. We appreciate you joining the show this morning.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me on.
You know, you've raced on this track, I think, 7 times all told in a couple of different series, a couple of third-place finishes. So you have familiarity with this track. The one time, and matter of fact, you made your Cup Series debut on this track a couple of years back. Didn't have that great of a showing, but you have had success on this track. What do you like or not like about the Las Vegas Motor Speedway?
I think the thing that's really great about Las Vegas is that on the restarts we can just go 3 and 4 wide. I mean, it's just such a crazy track when we get going, and I think you can use all the different lanes on the track, so there's just so much 3 and 4 wide racing. I mean, it's just makes it pretty exciting, I think.
You know, you've had really good success on the Xfinity Series, a couple of second-place finishes for the season, and you get the call to race for Stewart Haas Racing, one of the more prestigious teams on the circuit in NASCAR. How does it feel when you get that call and you know this is it, man? You're going a full season at absolutely the top of your profession.
I mean, it means a lot. You know, that's what we all want to do. I mean, that's what I've been watching NASCAR. I've been a fan since I was a little kid. So racing the Cup Series is pretty surreal. But, it's just a matter of, you still got to do your job. And you got to take it one step at a time and get yourself better every single time you're out there. Because, I mean, it's a huge opportunity and you don't want to take it for granted.
A huge opportunity, and you had that opportunity start last weekend in Daytona, another race that was postponed due to weather, and then, of course, the Ryan Newman crash that had everyone watching that race, to say startled would be the understatement of the century. Cole, you know, he did walk out of the hospital the other day, you know, thank God for that, but what goes through the mind of a race car driver when you see, and obviously I don't know where you were during that crash and where you were in the race. But when you see something like that happen and after the fact and you reflect on it, maybe with your family, your friends, what goes through your mind?
I mean, I think it's just amazing that he was able to walk away, you know, 2 days later from the hospital. So I think to walk away with, I mean, from what we know, like no serious really injuries, I mean, it's pretty amazing. And it's a testament to how far the safety's come in NASCAR. I mean, it's still dangerous, and I think we saw that. I mean, things can go wrong, but for somebody to walk away after a hit like that is pretty unreal, and I think it's just a testament to the safety innovations that they've brought, you know, recently.
Well, no question about it. I think after Dale Earnhardt's fatal crash at the Daytona 500, they really made sure that from that point forward, the head was going to be stationary, and that was going to be mandatory. I think one of the greatest moves in NASCAR history as far as, you know, making sure that the cars are safe. A couple of things this year with NASCAR. One of them, and you know, we heard about this, and it's pretty cool for you. Your rookie season officially is going to be one of the legendary and greatest drivers in history's final season. Jimmy Johnson will retire at the end of this year. What is it like? I imagine growing up, Cole, being a real young guy, he was one of the idols, and getting to race alongside of him for one season, you'll be able to say, I got to race against that guy. Pretty cool. What are your thoughts about that, and what were your thoughts growing up about Jimmy Johnson?
Yeah, I mean, Jimmy's obviously one of the best guys that there's ever been, I mean, in our sport. So, I mean, you know, growing up watching him, it was the guy that just couldn't stop winning. I mean, it was just unreal, the things that he did and is still doing, honestly. So I think it's an honor to get to race with him in his final season, and hopefully, you know, we can have some good battles out there. But I don't know, it's exciting. I mean, it's somebody I've watched since I was a little kid, so it's kind of a dream come true.
Pretty cool weather conditions. A couple more for you, Cole, and we'll let you get out of here. Weather conditions. Yesterday, obviously, had rain. It rained out the majority of the race. They're going this afternoon. A concern, and what are you prepared for?
Well, we had to start off with last year's points. So that's how the field's starting. But overall, I mean, there's not too many concerns, I guess, with the rain. You know, it's all sunny today. Obviously, the rubber will be washed off the track, so it's kind of that's going to change throughout the day. The lines will move around. You'll have to kind of adapt to how the track changes. But overall, that's probably the biggest thing we have to worry about with the rain.
I got to tell you, Cole Custer has got to be one of the great NASCAR racing names. Were your parents thinking that before you were even conceived? I mean, you got the last name Custer, which is great, and then Cole Custer. I mean, you just can't have a better NASCAR name than that.
Yeah, I think I just got lucky on that one, honestly. But it worked out good, I guess.
Yeah, well, look, pretty good. We're looking forward to seeing what you can do and what takes place today at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway. Always a great time. You get the fighters fly over. The Jets will start the race. It gets pretty exciting. And, Cole, last question. I ask all race car drivers that I've spoken to this question, but why did you choose a sport like NASCAR? I know there's some family ties to it, but I mean, and you said earlier, well, it's still dangerous. I think that would be one of the understatements of the century. It is a seriously dangerous sport that you need to be, to say it, it's funny, I talk about these guys, they're not athletes would be the biggest joke. You have got to be, you're driving around for 2.5-3 hours with your hair on fire every Sunday. It takes incredible concentration. I talked to Tom Sneevy years ago. He said, if you think for 1 minute, man, I got to pick up eggs on my way home, that can be the end of your life. So why this sport?
I mean, I think for me it's just the competition of it. I mean, we're all as drivers, you know, really competitive, and I think it's something that, you know, we just want to beat the guy next to us.
Well, I hope that you have success doing beating the guy next to you for several years to come, my friend. Really appreciate Aiden taking your time out on race morning to join us here on Fox Sports Radio, and we'll see you out at the track in a little while.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on.
That was Cole Custer, rookie on the NASCAR Cup Series. He'll be one of the participants in the Pennzoil 400. Kind of a drag. They didn't get to compete for the pole this year. So guys like Cole kind of get screwed a little bit and sent to the way back because they're going on last year's points just because they just weren't able to do the qualifying because of the weather. Anyways, this is Fox Sports Radio Out of Line. We're way overdue for our first break. When we come back on the other side, I'll have Magnum play that interview. Last night I got a chance to talk to Gage Quinney and really really, really cool. The first Nevada-born player to ever play in the National Hockey League. And how cool is it to make his debut with the first professional sports franchise, I should say major professional sports franchise, in Las Vegas in the Golden Knights. And he did that last night. And I talked to him after the game. You'll hear that right after this. Sports Radio 98.9 FM 1340 AM. This is Out of Line. Brian Feldman, Caleb Herring, Chris Magnum Chapman, and Spencer
DeWiz.
There we go. Ostrovsky.
I was watching something. Sorry.
He was watching himself in the YouTube.
No.
Video.
I was okay. Watching the XFL highlights. It's actually some pretty good highlights going on.
Not too bad.
I'm excited about
it. It's early. All right, man. Mags, I got a chance last night after the game, as I mentioned. I got a chance to speak with NHL rookie after his first game ever in the NHL, and like I said, so happens to be the first ever Nevada-born player to play in the National Hockey League, made his debut for the Vegas Golden Knights. Got to go and see him afterwards. If you check out Facebook Live from last night, you can see the entire interview of talking to the guy, but this was a portion of speaking to him last night after the Vegas Golden Knights won their fifth straight game at T-Mobile Arena, beating the Florida Panthers 5-3.
That really got the heart racing too, but it was great. This is one that'll last forever for me in the memory column, and just very thankful.
Are you soaking it in, Gage? Now it's over with the first game, first player born in Nevada to ever play in the NHL. What are you thinking?
Like I said, just excited. Like I said, glad to get the first one out of the way, and then hopefully there's more. Just to settle in and figure it out.
What do you think your family's going to say when you get home and you start talking to everybody?
I really don't know if there'll be much words going back and forth, because I think they'll be so happy for me and stuff like that. But I think I'll just make sure to give them, both my parents, a big hug.
What do you say to kids out there right now that are here in Vegas that aspire to be NHL hockey players that are now looking to Gage Quinney as their future hero and idol?
Just always believe in yourself and live that dream. I was always told there's no hockey in Vegas and stuff like that, and I was just lucky to have the right people in my corner growing up, and it's really helped.
Fact this. If you don't like the facts, take your ass back to bed. Fact this.
Yeah, it's a fact. Three of the top four teams in the country flat out lost yesterday in college basketball. One of those losses came at the hands of the UNLV Runnin' Rebels, who knocked off the number four ranked San Diego State Aztecs, who was America's only undefeated team. This was the biggest and most surprising thing to happen to UNLV basketball, maybe since Lon Kruger took them to the Sweet 16 a few years back. I mean, Caleb, I'm going to tell you, there's no way in hell any of us, including you, saw this coming.
No, I did. Absolutely saw it coming.
Oh, no.
It was a no-brainer.
Wiz is running out to the car to get some boots, man. It's getting deep in here.
Of course we didn't see it coming. There's no way anybody could take credit for seeing it. You know who could, though? Our friend Jose Valentes. He was being sarcastic, though, I think, when he tweeted it, that UNLV would knock off San Diego State, but it happened. I mean, he had to get a little credit.
Mags, Jose tweeted out yesterday that it was going to happen. How many Modelo's deep do you think he was before he made that tweet?
He was deep. I'm guessing that Caleb is right. He was probably being sarcastic.
Yeah,
I
and
will
that's
tell
how
you
ridiculous
this.
It was. You had to be sarcastic.
No, you did.
I will say this: when I saw the arrogance and just the sheer lack of respect San Diego State showed for UNLV by unveiling that banner. First of all, you have to really, really be an arrogant team to do something like that.
The season's not over.
Yeah, wait till the season's over. You unveil
the
banner.
It's a huge mistake.
Yeah, and you know what? The other thing is, I think UNLV, they knew that they should have beat this team the first time they played them. I feel like they had a lot. You know what? We're not getting the respect we deserve,
right?
Because we matched up well against them. We just had some things go against us towards the end of the game, ended up costing us. I mean, yeah, there's some aspects. Look, UNLV was up big almost the entire game.
Yeah.
Final 10 minutes, San Diego State turned up the pressure. I think UNLV ran out of gas a little bit, one field goal over the final 10 minutes. I don't care. Doesn't matter. All that matters is the final score. San Diego State, you will never have an unbeaten season. You'll never be UNLV. So it was nice to see the Rebels go in there and
take care of business,
and,
man.
And beat a team that showed no respect and was just so arrogant unveiling that banner. I really feel like that was...
That was such a very disrespectful thing.
It's a slap in the face.
I don't care how early you secure that. You let the season finish before you you have to get banners made. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, 100%.
Was that just like sitting in the, you know, like, did you have that already? Like, how long have you had
bothersome.
That?
Bothersome. Bothersome.
You know what I'm saying? They deserved it.
Yeah,
at home.
Yeah,
the fans were leaving. I loved watching the fans leave early because I'm like, that's what you get. Like, you don't do a ceremony like that before you play a conference opponent with a couple of games left in the regular season. You don't do that. It was just a bad move by the program to pull that out. So I think it was good for them that they
the
lost
only,
on
the
that
only
night.
Thing that would have made it better would have been had they put, like, whatever, 28-0 on the banner.
Yeah. That would have been great.
That would have been outstanding.
That would have been
luckily
great.
They didn't go overboard. But I was, tweeting or actually texting after the game with Mark Anderson, who covers the beat for the Las Vegas Review Journal. And I kind of, you know, like, what is the difference in this team? You know, how did they do this? And I'll just quote what he said. He said the 4-guard lineup is giving opponents a tough time. UNLV is also playing much better defense and certainly is more confident. I think those things are obvious, no question. You had to play better defense. But my question is, Caleb, the 4-guard rotation, it's working right now in the Mountain West. To me, if you don't have size at some point, it is going to destroy you. And this 4-guard rotation is definitely disruptive. And it's a little bit difficult to game plan against. But I think he's going to have to get some size on the floor.
You know, I don't think it's necessary in this day and age in basketball because nobody really has a, if you're talking about size, nobody really has a dominant inside presence at this level.
But I'm talking about rebounding.
You know, I understand that, but you have guys that are scrappy and
like
guard
Bryce that Hamilton,
rebound.
That'll
get
10 rebounds.
And get rebounds.
Yeah, okay.
Coleman also gets down in there and he fights for him. He's not the biggest guy, but he gets down there and fights for rebounds. But they do a good job of mixing in and inserting size at times. Like when they use the speed of a 4-guard rotation, they'll insert a big. And then out of nowhere, they come up with some big rebounds. So it has to be a concerted team effort where you focus in on crashing the glass, boxing out, things like that, especially when you play teams that shoot a lot. A lot of the rebounds are long rebounds anyway. So the bigs don't really get those rebounds. So if you can manipulate the pace of the game so the bigs aren't as impactful on the game, I think that's what they've been doing a good job of. That's probably why they're having so much success with that lineup. So if it works, it works, and keep doing it until it doesn't. I mean, there's nobody in the conference, I think, that will make you get out of that. I think it presents more problems for the other team when having to match up with those 4 guards and keep your bigs on the floor. It's always that catch-22 of that thing. Yeah, we're bigger than them, but we can't keep up. When we switch on screens, we can't keep up with these guys.
I'm still surprised. And again, I'm not going to question TJ Otzelberger right now after the last couple of wins. The Colorado State win was not that it was a big win, but the way they won in such a dominating fashion in that game after coming off of an emotional win at the Pit was really surprising to me because I thought that's a perfect game for a letdown for a typical UNLV team, and they didn't have it. Not only did they not have a letdown, they used it to propel themselves to a great game against Colorado State, and they used that to carry them in to a game against one of the top teams in the country. So now they're sitting in a position tied with two other teams in fourth place in the Mountain West Conference. I think the bye is essential for this team in the first round just to show themselves that, you know, we are in the upper echelon of our conference, and it starts this Wednesday night against Boise State coming in, and they're one of the two teams, ironically, that they are tied for fourth place with.
Yeah, so if they finish and get that bye, which they have to be in the top five to get that, so if they get that bye, I think you can just there call this season a success for TJ Otzelberger. I know their record only shows them just over 500 right now, but late in the season, I always talk about it, the 4 overtime losses that they had that could have gone either way, obviously, it was an overtime game. But the way they finished, the 3-game stretch, winning in the Pit, beating Colorado State the way he did, and winning against a number 4 team on the road at San Diego State, the first time they've done that since, I think, Anthony Marshall was at UNLV. So and they won that game.
Yeah, even the split with Utah State.
Right. So that's those three games to me, the way that you finish this season, because we all talked about it. They started off hot in conference and we're like, that's not gonna keep up. The meat of the schedule is at the end. They gotta play all these tough games on the road, New Mexico and San Diego State being those two games, really. Those two games you won. So it's like if you're assessing it, I know the record says just over 500, but when you look at the way the team's progressed through the year, what TJ's been able to establish with the team, who knows? Whatever they do in the conference, that'll be great. I'm not going to sit here and say they should make a conference run. It'll be a Cinderella story in the conference or anything like that. I'm not going to say that. I'm just going on face value right now. This has been a successful season. UNLV, the way they're finishing this season, it's been a good season.
I'm not going to disagree with you. Chris, do you think this team, I think it was a year ago or 2 years ago, they even put it out there that they're not going to accept a postseason conference bid because they knew they wouldn't get the NIT. It was going to be the tournament you got to pay your way into. But if this team, say they went out, so they end up 17-14 on the regular season, they win a game in the conference tournament, and they end up 18-15, is this a team that deserves an NIT bid?
No, they don't deserve an NIT bid. However, I do think they would accept a postseason tournament invite this year.
The CBA, CBI this year?
Whatever it is, because I feel like this is a... I don't really feel like the administration ever truly believed in Marvin Menzies. And I felt like maybe they felt it was a waste of money and a waste of time because there really was no... There wasn't a lot of positives to build off of with Menzies' second team, right? Like, they beat nobody that year.
But they had a 20-win season.
Yeah, well, you look at the schedule, and I think the four of us with Clay Baker could have had a winning season that year.
For sure with the Wiz at the point.
Caleb playing center, right? We would have been a 20-win team against the schedule that year. This is a little bit different, right? This is Otzelberger's first year. He's got a couple of building blocks, right? Guys like Jonah Antonio, I can't even say the kid's name, the European kid. You know, like Vitaly, I don't remember how to say his last name, but you know who I'm talking about. They have some building blocks in place, and I feel like this is a team that, yeah, you take them to the CBI, and maybe you play a team like Long Beach State or somebody like that in the first round. I don't really know what it would be like, but or who they would play. But you get these guys' experience.
I'll tell you what, if they win two games in the Mountain West tournament, ended up with 19 wins, I think they might get an NIT bid.
I don't know, because I don't know like what their RPI is.
If they win two games, they'd be in the finals, wouldn't they?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I think they would get an NIT bid in that case.
I mean, here's something.
Unless they didn't get a bye and they won two games.
Here's something that's really not out of the realm of possibility. They could win the conference tournament.
I thought this because there's the potential for San Diego State, especially now with the one loss going into the tournament, that they're going to be in prep for the big tournament. Well, and they're not going to put as much effort into, because it's happened before. It's kind of like the idea of let's not exert ourselves too much on this conference, which doesn't mean much. We've already got the regular season title. We've locked up a spot in the big tournament. So it's like, it's not as important for that team, and maybe even for other teams that are trying to get into the big one, that they win this tournament. But I don't see it as far-fetched, because UNLV has played competitively with all of the top teams in the conference.
They're not intimidated or scared of anybody in this conference, and they've beat all the upper echelon teams except for Reno, that we know is a beatable team because they barely lost to them. And the thing that's the most concerning right now is, it's not concerning, but it's to me, it's Donnie Tillman. What's going on? Because the bottom line is, this guy right here, without him, there's no chance. There just isn't. I mean, not that there's a chance with him, but to win the conference tournament, granted they beat San Diego State without him yesterday night.
Yeah, they played really well against him here, too. I mean,
for the last 5 minutes of the game, I couldn't watch it.
It was painful to watch
Amari Hardy going one-on-one.
Did the officials at the end of that game blow it or what? Like, I thought it was clearly a flagrant foul.
Well, I don't think it was flat. I think you know what it was? I think the flop did it. Like, it was like you flopped too much.
Well, yeah. And then the other thing was, the dude who hit the three to cut it to a one-point game, He traveled.
Yeah, that pump fake, I think his foot did come up.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
But, you know, the bottom line is
they reviewed so much that didn't need to be reviewed, too. Like, like when he lost the ball and just flew straight out of bounds, that didn't need to be reviewed. But that was like, pretty clear. The out of bounds where we threw it off of the San Diego State player, that was pretty clear. Like, at first watch, like, what do you need to look at here? But
I think
they tried too much to get it right. It was like, just let it go. Some of these things, just let it play on, you know?
Yeah,
it's more exciting to let it play.
They had to make sure that it didn't hit the baseline first, but I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that these guys win the conversation.
I cannot believe we're even having this conversation, but I'm not disagreeing.
They've proven they could beat San Diego State.
The Wiz is repulsed with all of us right now.
They've proven they can play.
He is like, these guys are actually saying UNLV might win the Mountain West Conference tournament.
Not saying they might, saying that they could.
It's a possibility.
You know, because if San Diego State loses early or San Diego State gets upset.
The Wiz doesn't think if the Lord himself comes down and puts on a UNLV jersey, they're going to win the Mountain West Conference tournament.
He would have probably said the same thing about going to San Diego State and winning. And
who would have thought Utah State would have won it last year?
Well, going into the end of the season, I think a lot of us did. When we saw the center that Utah State had, with Sam Merrill, I believe that team could win it. There is no way in hell I saw them winning this game or even playing in this game. I even thought at first the point spread might be weak, even though they played them well
And I thought that would be the reason. Because they played them well the first time, I thought San Diego State would take it more serious and play a better game.
Plus,
but I think this is really just a matchup thing. Like, UNLV just matches up.
Plus, the game. UNLV's coming off of the huge win against Colorado State, the win in the pit. If there's ever a time for San Diego State to step it up and UNLV to drop the ball, no pun intended, it would have been yesterday's game, and it didn't happen. So, yeah, anything surprising. I think really what I'm looking forward to, you've got senior night, you've got Boise State coming in, a team that pretty much handled them up in Idaho, and this is a game that I think really will tell tale what's going forward, because this team... This is really the perfect storm for a letdown. Boise State coming in, senior night, you know, Otzelberger's final regular season, first regular season game at the Thomas and Mack. I can see this being a letdown game, although I think UNLV squeaks it out and pulls it out and goes and beats San Jose State.
They'll have the biggest crowd they've had all season.
They should.
You might sell out the Mack.
You know what?
You might pack the Mack tonight. Or Wednesday night.
It'll be disappointing as hell if they don't. I'll tell you that right now.
I'll be pissed
if you guys aren't out there showing up for the UNLV game. Listen, we got to take our final break real quick. We will come back on the other side. We still have Blazin'. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why. This is why. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. Hot because you're fly? There we go. Hey, it is time for Blazin', brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. 215 in North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. Two happy hours every day. A long three-pointer. That would be like one of those four-pointers away from Centennial Hills Hospital.
The Mountain Dew Ball?
The Mountain Dew Ball away from Centennial Hills Hospital. And it is America's favorite place, as you know, for wings, beer, and sports. And, of course, during football season, we are there every Monday night. And we're also doing Vegas Golden Knights Watch Party. Me and the Wiz were there a week ago, a Monday. We were at the Horizon location, had a great time. A couple people won some tickets. Man, they're regulars that come out to the Vegas Golden Knights parties. It was cool to see them win some tickets to the Tampa Bay game. They got to go see a great hockey game and the fourth of five straight Golden Knight wins at T-Mobile Arena. Pretty cool. But I'll start this off with Blazin', man. As Wiz mentioned in What's on Tap at the opening, a 42-year-old made his debut last night in the National Hockey League. Caleb, I don't know if you saw it, but there's a really weird rule in the National Hockey League, and you're required to have in the stadium. In 2016, it was in stadium. There's always been one, but it is an emergency goaltender. And last night, Carolina lost both their first and second goaltender. So this guy comes out of the stands. Basically, he's a 42. I'm not kidding you.
No, yeah, yeah.
42-year-old goaltender, David Ayers. And he comes out 42 years, 194 days old. He's the oldest goalie to win in his NHL debut. He's the second oldest player to make their debut in the NHL. Who the hell was older than 42 that made their NHL debut? And he becomes the fourth goalie to get their first career win at age 35 or older. That's a surprising statistic, too. that he's the fourth oldest. I would think he'd be the oldest to get his first win at that age, you know. But anyways, David Ayers, 42 years old. First two shots on goal he gave up, and in the third period, he stopped all seven shots he faced. And put it this way, it was a 4-3 game going into the third period, and Carolina ended up winning it 6-3. If that's not blazing, man, I don't know what is. Talk about a dream come true. You know, a guy that never played in the league. And the funny thing is, he's actually Toronto's emergency goalie, but since the game was played there, he's wearing Toronto pants, and he's out there playing against them, and he keeps them from winning the game. But still, one of the coolest stories, well, I think, of the year.
The best story was with Eric Halla, former Golden Knight.
Yes, talked to him before the game.
Well, allowed two goals. I shouldn't say he's a kid. He's 42.
Yep.
He allowed two goals, and Eric Halla walked up to him and tapped him on the pads and said, listen, I don't care if you let in eight more, just have fun.
Right.
And he didn't let in any more goals after that.
Yeah, he said, and he came in the locker room in the third period. He said, look, guys, I'm relaxed now. He goes, I'm going to be good for the third period. We're going to go out and win it. And you're right, Eric Halla did give him some advice. That was pretty cool. So to me, along with the fight last night, Wilder Fury, gave us the thrill that you thought it would. It was a beatdown, but Fury, man, by far the better fighter. Through six rounds, he had 74 punches landed to Wilder's 31. And at the end of that round, 52 what they call power punches compared to 17. And bottom line was DeAndre Wilder had to get rushed to the hospital after the game. They stitched up his ear. He was bleeding profusely. But the fight itself was blazing. And finally, a fight worth the pay-per-view money that everyone paid for it.
Yeah, so it was a really good fight. I think the right guy won. It was a great rematch. Glad Vegas got it, because a lot of fights now are going other places. But glad Vegas got that fight. Good for the sport. But my blazing, going a different direction, going back to basketball, Dwayne Wade got his jersey retired by the Miami Heat, which was awesome to me. He's one of my top favorite players, of course, behind Kobe Bryant. But Dwayne Wade was up there, his reign during Miami, as one of the best guards in the league. Another member of the Kobe-Shaq tandem of good guards that played with Shaq. But the year that Shaq played with Dwayne Wade, it was Dwayne Wade's team. There's no question about it. One of the best finalist performances of all time when they won it in 2006, 34.7 points a game, which is ridiculous. Like, that's a lot of points from a guard. Shaq basically did nothing that series. He had 13 points a game. So Dwayne Wade getting his jersey retired as a Miami Heat was blazing for me. That's
blazing.
Awesome.
Mags, quick.
I'm keeping it simple. UNLV, Runner Rebels.
How can they not be blazing? Listen, out of line every Sunday, 8 to 9. We want to thank Cole Custer for joining the show today. My co-host Caleb Herring, Chris Magnum Chapman behind the wheels of steel, and of course the kid,
the Wiz,
Spencer Ostrowski, doing it for us. Our new social media relations director, man. That's right. We're giving him a title. We'll be back next week, same time, same place. We'll see you then. Bye bye.